This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
6:35 right now. Joining us is Lou Rockwell, lourockwell.com, and also the Mises Institute, where he is the president. They are both in Auburn, Alabama, and in cyberspace. Lou, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
So we've been hearing a lot about this new Payzar. The guy looks like a weenie to me, so I'm going to call him a weenie czar. What's the deal with this guy?
Well, you know, this is just, of course, socialism, or maybe it's planned economy where private property remains in private title, but control is taken over by the government. That's called fascism. So I know you're not supposed to say that.
How dare you?
All of a sudden I'll be marching in a teabag parade or something.
Right.
Of course, this is what this is. I mean, it's none of the government's business what people are paid. Now, what gives the government a certain phony moral legitimacy in this case is, in fact, they bailed out a lot of these banks. So, indeed, they should have let the banks go under, should have let the stockholders and the managers and the boards of these banks that had done so badly with them be punished. But they bailed them out. They gave them trillions of dollars of taxpayer money, punishing people and regular people in California and in other states. So there's a real rat's nest here. But the answer is don't bail out anybody, and also don't tell people what they can earn. That's really a totalitarian practice.
You know, Lou, one of the other things, too, is we understand now, we're hearing that both Bernanke and Paulson lied to Congress and the American people about the condition of those banks. That's coming
You know what
out
I'd
now.
Like to know? I'd like to get the press release on when they told the truth. Right, no, they lied from begin. Every word out of Bernanke's mouth is a lie. Same with Greenspan. I mean, it's not only in this administration, it's maybe for some time, but absolutely Paulson was a liar, is a liar, Bernanke was a liar, and in order to get money for their pals in Goldman Sachs, Paulson having been CEO of Goldman Sachs, and the other big Wall Street bankster operations, they lied to Congress, they lied to the American people. They said this was going to be for toxic assets. Now, I don't happen to believe that failed in toxic assets, meaning assets worth a Zippo. I don't believe that because these banks made big mistakes, the regular working people in Monterey County should be taxed so that the rich guys on Wall Street can continue to live it up. That's something very, very wrong. That's what Bernanke and Paulson claimed to be doing, but they did it in another way. It was still a bailout of the banks, but they wanted to have, in effect, a checking account for $700 or $800 billion, and that's the way they used that money. They lied about it. Sure, they ought to be putting stocks on the front lawn of the White House and have rotten vegetables thrown at them.
That would be a great start. You know, the other thing, besides having this rotten Payzar and all these other czars that Obama has come up with, which, and the term czar ought to be an affront to the American people to begin with, you know, because of the actual derivation of where czar comes from. It originally comes from Caesar, the term
That's
Caesar.
Right.
But, you know, now you have bureaucrats at the Federal Trade Commission, which is another useless government agency, regulating free speech in the form of what people who blog online, how they are to disclose whether or not they have been compensated in one form or another for a book review or a movie review or whether they like a bag of chocolate chip cookies that was given to them. I mean, this is just... You know, you talk about absolute getting into the minutia of the economy. This is ridiculous.
Well, first of all, I should say nobody's paid me to review a book or a movie, although I wish they would. But the one thing we have to remember, whenever we hear federal bureaucrats or their allies in the old media talking about the Internet, you know one thing, they hate the guts of the Internet. If these people had been able to prevent, if they'd known what was going to happen, they're too stupid, of course, and had they been able to prevent the creation of the Internet, they would have done so. They hate the Internet. We're all just supposed to be reading the San Francisco Chronicle or the New York Times or the Washington Post or watch the three networks. We're not supposed to hear talk radio, certainly not supposed to be online.
Do they hate?
We may not have access to all these different forms of media.
We're talking with Lou Rockwell, his website, lourockwell.com, and various other writings. Lou, why? Why does the left hate the Internet? Is it because it's the last bastion of capitalism?
Well, it is very free market. It has hurt the bricks and mortar retail operations that the elite is tied into. But it's more than that. It's because the Internet offers them differing sources of information. I saw some of CNN this morning. Always a mistake. And so they were having, well, sure, what should we do in Afghanistan? So they had Ike Skelton as the Democratic congressman on, a horrible warmonger who gave, you know, warmonger position A. Then they had the Republican, Pete Hoekstra, another horrible warmonger. So this is how we're supposed to get our information. Should we go to war or should we go to war? I mean, that's true of all, whether it's the health care plan or whatever. We're just supposed to hear one point of view. The governments, well, they don't like it that Americans, especially young Americans, are getting their news from all over the world, from left, right, and center, from every kind of big and small publication, and they're making up their own minds. This is very, very threatening to the regime.
Let me tell you something, Lou. I was telling Jim this a little earlier. I ran across an interview with the Federal Trade Commission's Richard Cleland, who is one of the bureaucrats charged with putting into effect this plan on how bloggers are supposed to report their compensation. And Ed Champion actually interviewed Cleland on the phone. Okay, and he give you an example of one of the things the FTC has proposed. We talk about the book review, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cleland says the primary situation is where there's a link to the sponsoring seller and the blogger. And if the blogger repeatedly reviewed similar products, say books or smartphones, then the FTC would raise an eyebrow if the blogger either held on to the product or there was any link to an advertisement. So what was the best way to dispense with products, including books? Here's what the bureaucrat said. Well, you can return it. So you review it, and then you put the book back in the mail, and you send it back to the publisher.
Well, do newspapers do that? Do magazines do that? Of course, this is, again, just an attack on new media. They hate our guts, and it's an attack on free speech. As Butler Schaefer has pointed out, we've subsequently found out that every one of these retired generals and colonels, I think of Colonel Jack Jacobs, for example, on NBC and MSNBC, every one of these guys who's been on as an alleged independent military expert in the run-up to the war on Iraq and the war in Afghanistan turns out to be in the pay of the military-industrial complex. They're all in the pay of Lockheed or Martin Marietta or some other munitions manufacturer. Are they going to be required to disclose that information to us?
Well, probably
no, absolutely not. By the way, I don't think they should be required to. But nevertheless, they would never think of doing anything like that. So you can tell that they want to aim it at, again, the new media who are undermining the totalitarian one-voice strategy of the government.
Yeah, Lou, with all this that we've talked about, can it all be unwound? Or is it with us forever? Can we actually, you know, get rid of a lot of this stuff?
First of all, we all have free will, so we're not locked into anything. People's minds can change. In the past, people's minds have changed. I would argue that people's minds are changing right now, and I think the key in this current episode is that Obama can't get his medical care socialism bill through. He can't get it through. So I think we will see that as the high point of all this baloney, and they're going to have more and more trouble domestically now. Internationally, the president acts like a dictator. He decides whether to go to war, whether to send more troops into Afghanistan. Congress is just an advisory body these days. Of course, constitutionally, that's not supposed to work like that.
Right.
Congress is supposed to be in charge. So in foreign policy, things, I would say, look not too hot. But domestically, they're having trouble expanding the government, and that's the first good sign. Then we can start to trim back. I think we have to be optimistic, at least in domestic policy. Also, the government's running out of money. They've wrecked the dollar. This is not, we're all suffering, going to suffer from this. But nevertheless, that disempowers the government. So I think there's going to be real opportunity for people who believe in prosperity and freedom and sound money to try to make reforms that will improve things, at least for the future, even if those of us alive right now may have a tough period ahead of us because of what the government has done to us.
Well, you know, I've heard you say this before, that government derives its ability to govern through the consent, or its legitimacy, through the consent of those who are governed. If we no longer consent and we start ignoring a lot of these dictates that come out of Washington or Sacramento or City Hall, government then loses its legitimacy and it can't get anything done.
You know, it's exactly true, and if you listen to the left these days, and I imagine the Bush people said a similar thing under the last president, but they keep accusing the opponents of Obama of attempting to delegitimate him and how horrible that is. Well, it's actually a very good thing to delegitimate the government, delegitimate the president, delegitimate the Supreme Court, the Congress, and that takes away their power. It's a small group of parasites, the government. The taxpayers are a much larger group than the tax eaters. So they can't actually do things to us without our consent. And to the extent we do withdraw our consent, they do lose their legitimacy. They do lose their power to do us harm. And boy, that would be a great thing.
Well, I think we're getting closer to that all the time, Lou. You know, I feel the same rumblings
Oh, yeah.
That you're feeling as well.
The earth is moving under their feet, and it's the freedom earthquake.
Yeah, not just in California, but across the country.
In Washington, that's where we want it to happen, not California.
That's right. Lou Rockwell, thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, thank you.
All right. That's Lou Rockwell. Check him out at lourockwell.com and also the Mises Institute, MISES.org.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show, produced by lourockwell.com. The best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@lourockwell.com. And thanks for listening.